Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Monday, which means it's time for First and 10 with your host, Vinny Bonsignor.
What is going on, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Vegas Nation, First and 10, your Monday go-to for Raider news, analysis, insight. I'm Vinny Bonsignor. I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and as always, we're going to be here every single Monday. We're getting closer and closer to actual football, believe it or not. This week, either Tuesday or Wednesday, the Raiders are going to get on the football field for actual football work. It's a four-day ramp-up to their 14-day padded practice period that will take them right to the cusp of the season opener against the Carolina Panthers. They'll use those 14 days to get after it in a football way, and it'll take them to the beginning of the week of their preparation for the Panthers. So things are happening. They're happening really fast. And we're here to talk about it, and we're here to analyze it. And I can't wait to really start talking about some football. As always, I encourage you to hit me up whenever you want, however you want. If you want to hit me up at Twitter, it's at Vinny Bonsignor. If you want to email me, it's vbonsignor@reviewjournal.com. I'm always accessible, and I'm here to take your questions, criticisms, ideas, insights, whatever you might want to share with me. And before we get to a heavy slate of things that we're going to talk about today, I just want to let you know that we are presented by Favor Shot, Deal Dash, and Sunday Ticket.
Say, hey, Gru, what do I got?
All right, we're going to get right to it. I don't know if you saw it or not. If you're a Raider fan, you kind of had to have seen it last week. Derek Carr spoke to the media for the first time officially since last season, and he had a lot to say. And he said it in a certain way. There was a demeanor, an edginess, a little bit of anger to Derek Carr when we spoke to him last week, and he got into a lot of different topics, including his fatigue over getting, criticized or disrespected, as he put it, things that he has to prove to himself. But there was an edge to him. There was a new kind of a demeanor to him. And it was interesting because, in the days after he spoke, got some texts, and I'm just going to let you guys know, I'm never going to steer you wrong. If I give you something, you can trust and take it to the bank that it's coming from, the sources that you need to be hearing from. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But basically the gist of the texts were, hey, that Derek Carr that you saw this week, that's the Derek Carr that you're going to see all year long. That's the new Derek Carr. He is edgier. He is angrier. I don't think it's a new thing necessarily. I think he's been on edge and a little angry for some time, but I have some theories on why he's kind of stepping out a little bit more now and articulating it and putting himself out there in an edgier, angrier way. And we're going to listen to what Derek Carr had to say about the fact that he's tired of being disrespected. Here's Derek Carr.
I have a lot to prove to myself. I have a lot to prove to my organization. I'm going to be completely honest here. I'm tired of being disrespected. So there was no question I was going to play this year.
And then Derek also got into the fact that, he's got some things to prove to himself, as he said in that clip, but not necessarily to other people. And he feels like the better he plays, the better the team plays, the more respect is going to come, not just to himself, but the rest of his team. And here's Derek talking about how winning will coincide with that respect level raising.
It's not about proving anybody wrong. It's about just going and getting that Super Bowl trophy with my teammates. It has nothing to do with anybody outside, but on the inside, we just want to hold that trophy. Because what I'm tired of, the hype machine that sometimes the NFL can be, right? Like, I played way better last year than I did in 2016, yet all we do is talk about that. well, we won 12 games. So, yay, everyone's excited. Like that stuff, I'm done with all that stuff. So you can say good stuff. Like I said, you can say bad stuff. I think you can sense it in the last probably year or so. I just don't care anymore. You say whatever you want. I'm trying to go win this Super Bowl so we can hang one of these banners in this this beautiful indoor that we got. And then I want to go try and do it again. And then I want to go try and do it again until I'm too old or they kick me out of this place. Like, I just don't care about any of that stuff anymore. You know, as soon as we go and win 12 games, Darren Waller is going to be top 10 on the NFL list, as he should have been this year. You can't tell me there's 95 better players than Darren Waller as he walks by right here. Like, you can't, I just won't believe it. How's Rodney Hudson not on there? How's Trent Brown, the best right tackle in all of football, not on that list, you know? So it's this hype machine. As soon as we start winning, everyone's mad and ratings go up. Shocker, you know? It's like, I'm tired of all that kind of stuff and I'm not playing those games anymore. I'm just, and honestly, I'm happy that we're doing it this way. Like, I just get to come in here and work with my guys every day. And if we win, awesome, great. We're going to keep grinding. I'm just going to stay true to what I do.
So interesting stuff there from Derek Carr. And again, and I got to stress to you, A, I don't think it's a new thing that he's angry. I think that he's been a little bit angry for a little while now in terms of, you know, where the Raiders have been from a roster standpoint during his 6 years here, from a coaching standpoint. Remember, he's three or four head coaches, multiple offensive coordinators, a turnstile on the roster in terms of players coming and going. I think that he's been not necessarily the victim of that dysfunction and the changeover and the constant change in philosophy and a lack of talent around him, but I think he's definitely been the product of that. And I think while his numbers have been okay and decent, you're only as good as the players around you a lot of times. I don't care how good a quarterback you are, that's just always going to be the case. So I feel that anger has kind of always been there, especially recently, as he's gotten more criticism, even though the roster didn't necessarily get better. I think that's changed, and we're going to get into that. But my philosophy and my theory on this is, again, he's been angry for some time, but I don't think that he was in a position when he looked and took an honest look at the roster that he was playing with. I don't think that he felt comfortable in writing some checks that he wasn't going to be able to cash, because not that he didn't have any confidence in his own ability, but the fact is that, you know, whether it was a bad offensive line or no defense or, you know, a lack of weapons from a wide receiver standpoint or a running game, there has never been a point in Derek Carr's Raider career where it was really good around him. So he could talk all he want. He could be as angry as he wanted and express that. But ultimately, those would be checks that he was writing that wouldn't be able to be, the money wouldn't be in the bank to cash them, because they probably weren't going to be winning and the fingers were going to be pointed at him. And you said this, you said that, but nothing changed. Whereas my theory now is, I think him stepping out a little bit and being a little bit more on edge and expressing that edginess, I think he's taking a look at this roster right now and saying, you know what? We're in a pretty good position here. And he said this when we spoke to him, and I specifically asked him about, does he feel like there's a difference in talent level right now? He's like, you know, when I leave that huddle, I look to my left and I'm like, whoa, okay, there's talent there. When I look to my right, there's talent. When I look behind me, there's talent. When I look in front of me with this offensive line, there's talent. You know, and he feels like we can beat you in a whole bunch of different ways. You want to take this away from us? Great, because we can just, you know, go in this direction. And we can impose our will now with the talent that we have. So I think the point I'm making is that I think Derek Carr, and this is why it's such a good thing for Raider fans that this is what he's expressing, I think Derek Carr has taken a really honest look at this Raiders team right now and said, you know what, if there's been any time where I could start writing some checks that I think at the end of the season are going to be cashable, I think it's right now. I feel really good about this team. I feel really good about this offense. When you look at Henry Ruggs, the wide receiver from Alabama. And I don't know if you caught the video footage that the Raiders put out of practice earlier this week, last week, where he goes up and makes a play in the at the goal line on a bad throw by Derek Carr. Was it I shouldn't say a bad throw. It wasn't the greatest throw. But he threw it up in his direction, in Henry Ruggs' direction, and Henry made this phenomenal athletic play to go up and grab it with one hand while being covered. And if you watch that tape, Derek Carr turns around and starts walking toward the camera. The camera was in the end zone that was behind him. And he's just sort of shaking his head like, oh boy, that's talent right there. And so you start talking about the addition of Ruggs. You start talking about Bryan Edwards, the rookie wide receiver from South Carolina, who Derek went on and on about this week. And trust me when I say, veteran players aren't about to just give it up to rookie players just because. If you listen to what Derek Carr said about Bryan Edwards and the praise that he was heaping on him, there's a reason for that. He's not just doing that just to do it. He's doing it because he sees something in Bryan Edwards, something special in Bryan Edwards. And I think that Bryan Edwards is going to be a weapon sooner rather than later that Derek can lean on. And then you start thinking about the addition of Lynn Bowden Jr., who's going to add flexibility and versatility all over the field. And that's combined with Josh Jacobs, the running back who broke a rookie Raider rushing record last year in 13 games, over 1,100 yards in 13 games, an offensive line that Pro Football Focus has rated number one going into 2020. Imagine that. If you're a Raider fan and remember 2 years ago when Derek Carr was running for his life to now where Pro Football Focus, and those guys know what they're doing, has that Raider offensive line rated number one going into the season. You talk about Darren Waller, you know, one of the better tight ends in the league, and Hunter Renfrow, one of the better slot wide receivers in the NFL, and maybe a healthy Terrell Williams. If you're Derek Carr, you're starting to look around and see a pretty darn good team where that wasn't always the case. And if you want to know why he's putting out that demeanor now, that edgier, angrier Derek Carr, I think that's the reason why, and I think that's a really good thing for Raiders fans. Sundays are coming back in the NFL with NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players, no matter where you live. NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFL Sunday Ticket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. Hey, everybody. Vinny Bonsignor from Vegas Nation First and 10. Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. 1 cent? That's crazy. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code VegasNation or DealDash.fm Vegas Nation. That's DealDash.fm Vegas Nation. Welcome back, Raider fans. This is Vegas Nation First and 10. I am your host, Vinny Bonsignor. I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review Journal. We're here every Monday to digest Raider news and take a look at what's ahead, what happened earlier in the day or earlier in the week. There's so much now to finally talk about because football is upon us. The Raiders have been at it over at their practice facility in Henderson for about a little over a week right now. Mostly it's been conditioning work and weight room work. They do get on the field over these past 8 days for walkthroughs. Sometimes they do it in the morning to take advantage of the weather here in Las Vegas. But it's been very limited as far as the football practice aspect of it. That changes this week when the Raiders begin a four-day football ramp up. They'll be out there with their shorts and helmets for 2 days, and then they'll add shoulder pads the last 2 days and start to get after it in a football sense. And that will lead them into the 14-day fully padded, fully football aspect of training camp. Can't wait. I'll be out there beginning this week and next week, and I'll have all the news and analysis. If there's any particular players that you want information on or insight or observations, please hit me up at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter and V Bonsignor at Review Journal. And as we do have been doing the last couple of weeks and we'll continue to do every week, it's time to start taking some questions. And thank you so much to everybody that's been taking a part of this. I put the word out on Twitter and you guys just flood me with your questions. I love it. And that's what we're here for. So I'm going to bring in my fabulous, talented producer, Larry Muir, and he's going to help me with the questions. Larry.
Blushing. All right. First question is a two-parter, and it is by PTI at Pardon the Idiot. What are the real expectations for Bryan Edwards based on early reviews, and what are the coaches saying about him?
Well, a lot of good things from the coaching staff and from Derek Carr on Bryan Edwards. This is a big-time, big-bodied, 6'3", 220-pound wide receiver who's physical, as Derek Carr described him. He's a violent pass pattern, you know, runner, route runner, in a good way. He goes up and gets the ball. I've been talking about this a lot. If you watch the tape, and I urge anyone to watch the tape of Bryan Edwards at South Carolina, and he played some big-time competition. He's an SEC player. He goes up and gets the ball. He can also create separation, you know, on longer routes. But when you need him in tight quarters, especially in the red zone, he's a target that you can trust just throwing the ball up there and he's going to go up and get it. As far as realistic expectations, I could see 40 catches. I could see 35, 40 catches. And, you know, there's a lot of good young players on this team. So the ball is going to get distributed and I can definitely see him being a factor there and being a factor in the red zone. So 35, 40 catches, you know, five or six touchdowns being an asset in the red zone. I could definitely see that for Bryan Edwards and with the needle pointing up as the years go on.
Next one comes from Cordell at Crown and Cigar. I think Raider Nation knows what the starting front seven will look like. Give us an idea what the starting secondary will be and who will start in nickel. Also, who will be the starting kick and punt returners?
Really good questions. As far as the secondary, Trayvon Mullen at one cornerback. I think Prince Amukamara will get the other cornerback spot. Veteran, you know, free agent signing. I thought that was a wise addition. Yes, they drafted Damon Arnett from Ohio State with the 19th pick overall. I think he'll get on the field, but I think it's going to take a little while for that to happen. So you kind of double down at cornerback with a veteran to try to hold down the fort until Damon's ready. I think that LaMarcus Joyner gets the first crack at you know, slot corner, although Amik Robertson, the rookie from Louisiana Tech, is going to force his way onto the field one way or another. That dude's a little football player, and I think that he's going to make his presence felt. I think I could see Amik being a part of, along with Damon Arnett, in nickel packages, both of those young players on the field. Isaiah Johnson as well. The Raiders drafted him in the fourth round last year. He was injured throughout the whole season, but he's healthy now. There's a reason why they drafted him. They liked him as a long-range prospect with a lot of athletic ability and a lot of size. I think he'll get on the field as well. At safety, Jonathan Abram, first-round pick last year, who missed most of the season after getting hurt first game of the season. The Raiders are counting on him to be a big-time player. He showed in training camp last year and his limited time on the field that he could be a presence in the secondary, a guy that's physical, gets after it, has a presence about him. So I think he's got the one safety spot down. And then Demarius Randall, who the Raiders signed, free agent from the Cleveland Browns. I think he's got the other safety job. But there's a lot of good young players on this team. Nevin Lawson, I think, is somebody that they like in package situations. This secondary is young, outside of Prince Amukamara and Demarius Randall, but it's got a lot of upside. The Raiders have put a lot of money into that position, and it's time for that to start paying off.
Next one comes from Raid Ron at Mac'em Boys. What is going to be the most contested position group leading up to the season?
Well, I think that secondary group is going to be contested because I think you have young players like Damon Arnett and Amik Robertson, Isaiah Johnson, guys that want to get on the field, guys that feel like they're capable of getting on the field, and the Raiders want them to do just that. And I think they're going to get every look at their respective positions. I also think the weak side linebacker spot opposite or alongside veterans Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski, who the Raiders signed as free agents, I think that weak side job is wide open. You heard John Gruden this week talk about Javon White, the rookie, undrafted rookie from UNLV. You've got Tanner Muse, the draft pick from Clemson, who played some safety in college and now is making the transition to weak side linebacker. I think the Raiders wanted to get athletic and with some pass coverage ability at that weak side linebacker spot. I think both of those young players bring that. I think Nicholas Morrow is going to get the initial nod, but don't rule out Javon White and don't rule out Tanner Muse at that weak side linebacker spot.
And the last question comes from Jesus Jimenez at 86-68. Which rookie that we haven't heard of yet is going to get some positive attention from the coaching staff or Mark?
Yeah, I think that you're going to start hearing once they get the pads on, and I think Amik Robertson and Damon Arnett can kind of show what they're capable of doing. You haven't heard their name too much yet. It's hard for that position cornerback to really, you know, make some headway when you don't have the pads on and you're not going full speed. But I think their ability to be physical is gonna start expressing itself as the pads get on and as they do more and more football stuff. And I think Tanner Muse, I think the rookie from Clemson, has a chance to get on the field with his intelligence and his athletic ability and his pass coverage ability. I think you're going to start hearing more about Tanner as well.
I'll be happy to answer any questions that you can.
Welcome back, Raider Nation, to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for Raider news. I'm Vinny Bonsignore, your host. We're in the red zone, so we got to get through this as quick as possible. But very quickly, I wanted to touch on something that Derek Carr talked about and his offensive coordinator, Greg Olsen, talked about this week, and that is the need for Derek to start being a little bit more flexible in terms of making plays with his legs in the pocket. Here's offensive coordinator Greg Olsen.
Well, I see him create, and that's I think if you said that about Derek's career, can he be even more creative? When a play breaks down, can you create, get out and create, and it'd be the play after the play called? Okay, this play broke down, now you've got to escape and get outside the pocket and create some for us, or push forward and run. And that's been an emphasis. He sees it, he's athletic enough that he can create with his legs, so we're just working on him to create more outside the pocket.
We also had a chance to talk to Derek Carr about, the need to make some plays, expanding his game by making some plays with his legs. Here's what he had to say.
It's one of those things that you gotta work on all the time. You know, it's one of them things that, before Coach Gruden got here, I barely did it. I'm gonna sit in the pocket. I'm gonna sit here and these reads are going to beat you, my arm's going to beat you. And then he came in, and the first year was a struggle just trying to figure out how to, move and run around in the pocket. Then last year happens, and, we're running more touchdowns. We're, getting more first downs with my legs. We're winning football games with me scrambling. So the arrow is trending up, so it's a good thing. But we want to still do more. Like, my job is always to do more, so I bet you do drills, Josh. Like I set people up and I work a progression, then I scramble. That's my conditioning that I would do all offseason. I'm scrambling, just creating plays, making guys do different things, getting the feel for how they break and stuff like that. So it's always something that you want to work on. But first and foremost, I'm going to try and my progression, all these kind of things. But what's nice, being in this offense for the third year, like, you can move through it even faster. I thought last year was fun. Man, this year is even more fun. Like, how fast I can get through things and then hit it and go, and go get a first down. It's like the way that I'm able to do that. And it's just a luxury being in the same system. This league nowadays is, especially for young quarterbacks, man, you're in and you're out. Like, you got a new coach, you got new this, and everyone's trying to get new everything all the time. Whereas this is my third year with Gru and Ole and second year with Johnny Moe in the room, and just we're talking the same language, we're moving through the same things all the time to where I could play even faster, which we did some really good things last year.
All right, let's be honest, Derek Carr is not going to morph into Lamar Jackson anytime soon. It's just not necessarily part of his game, but there were a couple of plays last year. He scored a touchdown late in the season. I remember being there. I came on in late November, so I wasn't able to watch Derek Carr all season long. But he made a play where he turned the corner and scored a touchdown with his legs near the goal line. I thought that was a step in the right direction for him. I think that now with the protection that he's getting, the talent that he has around him, and the understanding that, hey, you know, there might come a time where I need those 4 yards to get a first down. The best way that we're going to be able to do that is by me taking off and running. I think you're going to see that a little bit more. You know, Derek Carr has certainly been a careful player these last couple of years. People sometimes mistake that carefulness with a reluctance to take chances downfield, or just, you know, he doesn't have that ability. I see it completely the opposite. I don't think he's felt like he's had the talent around him to necessarily take those chances downfield. So as a result, he doesn't, you know, because he's probably thinking it might lead to a turnover or bad things might happen. So, you know, that's affected him. I think now with Henry Ruggs and the weapons that they do have, I think you're going to start seeing him take chances down the field a little bit more. But I also think you're going to see him, when they have to have it, go and get it with his legs. So I think you're going to see that a little bit more. He's not going to be Lamar Jackson. He never will be. But I think there's situations where he's going to be urged and he'll be comfortable and open to making plays with his legs. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Vegas Nation First and 10. I'm Vinny Bonsignore, your host. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Keep all those questions coming. I love it. We're going to keep doing that every week. I will talk to you next week, right on the verge of the Raiders actually putting on the pads and getting after it in a real football sense. I'm Vinny Bonsignore. Check you out next week.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.